Yes, it is now 2:46 a.m. in Cape Town, South Africa. It's normally my time of prayer. So today I'm going to create a Facebook page for a church. And as I'm entering prayer, I realize that I personally don't know how to pray. The Bible says, "For we do not know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit Himself intercede for us with unutterable groanings." And God, who searches the heart, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with unutterable groanings. So, although I do not know how to pray, but I will pray according to what comes to my mind or what comes into my heart. But the Holy Spirit, who will be searching my heart and searching my life and seeing what I really need, He will then tell God what I really need. And then this scripture came to me, Psalm 138 verse 8. It says, "The Lord will complete it for you." Psalm 138 verse 8, that is in the Christian Bible, right about in the center of the Christian Bible. Psalms is spelled P-S-A-L-M-S, but it is pronounced Psalms, because it is from Greek origin, the P-S, just like psychology. It's pronounced psychology, P-S and so forth. So, it says there, the Lord will perfect it for you. So, God gave me like an interpretation of what it really means. So, this is my, as you see, the title of my podcast is Henry Heatwave. So you get different translations of the word. Living Bible, Amplified Version, NIV, New International Version, The Message, and so forth. So this is the Heatwave translation of that scripture. And the Heatwave translation or understanding of that scripture means, as I unpack that scripture, it says, "The Lord will perfect it for you." So I'm saying, the Lord will set it up for you. He will organize it for you. He will orchestrate it for you. He will correlate it for you. He will perform it for you. And He will execute it for you to this end, so that it bears fruit. In other words, it will fructify. It will yield fruit. So, whatever you're busy with, don't worry. God will complete it. God will inspire you. God will work in you. God will work through you. God will work in other people. And He'll go before you in life and set things up for you, organize things for you, correlate it for you, perform it for you. He'll do the job. So by the time you get there, you will find that there's already people who's prepared the place for you. There's already people, if you, someone who tender, when you tender, submit a tender, then they want you to have the people who can do the job, but you must submit the certificates of qualification, the certificates of training. You've got to, these certificates has got to accompany your tender. In other words, if they want bush clearing for working on these high-powered wires, they want the certificates of people who are trained in botany, trained in applying poisons to wheat, and the people who can identify which plants cannot be uprooted, which plants should not be destroyed, or which plants are a national treasure. And so forth. And they must, if they're going to work under those high-powered wires, it means they must have certificates that they know safety rules and know that anything can happen whilst you're working under those high-powered wires. So your certificates has got to accompany your attender. But I am saying, according to Psalm 138 verse 8, the Lord will organize it for you. So it means when you tender, God will organize it so that you meet people who already have those certificates. You will meet people who's already experienced in that field in which you're going to tender. That means that you won't have to send people for training. Isn't it wonderful? So that's my understanding of Psalm 138 verse 8. The Lord will perfect it for you. The Lord will set it up for you. The Lord will organize it for you. The Lord will orchestrate it for you. The Lord will correlate it for you. The Lord will perform it for you. And the Lord will bring it to its fruition and cause it to fructify. To fructify means it will yield fruit. It will yield the results. You'll get a profit. You will prosper. You will make money. Amen. You will excel in what you do. So the Bible says, commit your way unto the Lord and he will perform it for you. Just say, like many times, I have a problem or situation or need and I say, Lord, I just commit this into your hands. So I stop worrying. I've given it to the Lord. The hymn writer said, turn it over to Jesus and you will smile the rest of the day. So the scripture I spoke about where it says that we don't know a right how to pray, it is found in the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So I can't say that I'm a master in prayer. I can't say that I really know how to pray. But many times I will just pray the Our Father, which is found in the book of Matthew chapter 6. So, but my understanding of prayer is that even if you give a sigh, I know what to do. That sigh is a prayer and you will find in the book of Acts chapter 7, verse 34, that God appeared in a burning bush to Moses. And he said, Moses, come here. Take off your shoes because you're standing on holy ground. Come here. I have seen the affliction of my people and have heard their sighs. God says, you have heard their... Oh... That sigh, you see, that sigh is a prayer because it comes from deep within, from a burdened heart. Sighing is a prayer. Tears is a prayer because there was a king in the Bible where the king had to die. God sent a prophet to him to say, tell him, set your house in order because you are going to die. And the Bible says when the prophet left him, the man, this king, he turned towards the wall. And he prayed to God, and he wept, and he was crying. And in other words, when he was crying, he cried to God, he was saying to God, I don't want to die now. God, I don't want to die now. Give me more time. Give me more years. And the Bible says God sent the prophet to him again. God said to the prophet, turn around and go and speak to this king. And go and tell this king that I have heard his prayers and I have seen his tears. You know? So in other words, it says to me that your tears, even if you don't know how to pray with words, but your tears is also a prayer. Amen. And then at times when you got the problem, you're in a situation, and you just look up to heaven and look to God. God, I'm looking to you to solve this problem. That looking up to God is also a prayer. So God bless you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to use big words or great words or to be able to explain things in detail. to God, because God is a God who hears prayers, who answers prayers. And the prayers are not necessarily in words, you see, because God knows why you are crying. God knows why you are sighing. God knows why you are looking up to Him. But the scripture I leave with you is Psalm 138 verse 8. The Lord will perfect it for you. So as I'm going into prayer, this is something that really come out of my heart and out of my personal experience this morning. I am going back into prayer, and I'm standing there and I'm thinking, how must I pray this morning? I'm thinking, and it came to me, God dropped that scripture into my spirit, and He said, the Lord will perfect it for me. In other words, God, as I'm going back into prayer, God's going to inspire me how to pray. Because that's how I pray always, and say, Lord, inspire my prayers. Inspire me as I pray. And help me to pray according to your will for myself and others. Inspire me as I pray, Lord, so that my prayers may be pleasing to you, may be like a fragrance before you. So I do not know right how to pray, but I always ask God to inspire me as I pray. And then I say, Lord, help me to pray the prayer of faith, to approach you with faith, because Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, if you come to God, you must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You see, so in other words, when you go to God, you must believe there is a God, number one. Number two, you must believe that He is going to reward you because you are coming to Him in prayer. Yes, you don't have to be on your knees always when you pray. You don't always have to go to a quiet place to pray, because sometimes you're traveling, you in a taxi or bus or in a car or train or plane, you can pray right there. And you don't have to pray aloud. You don't have to be vocal in your prayers. People don't have to hear what you're praying, because if you read in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, you will see that there was a woman who couldn't have children, and this other woman was always mocking her because she couldn't have children. And then this woman went to the temple and she went to go and pray there. And the Bible says that this woman was praying there and only her lips were moving. No sound was coming from her mouth. You see? And the Bible says the Lord heard her prayers. In fact, when the priest looked at her and he saw her, you can read about that in First Samuel, the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, it says, and it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. You see, so the priest thought this woman was drunk. Why is her lips only moving? So you can pray silently in your heart. It's also a prayer. Or silently in your mind. God hears those prayers. God knows what you're praying, because God is all-knowing. You will find that about His, it is called omniscience. God, omni means all, and science means knowledge. It means God has all knowledge of everything. And those words and that fact, no, it's not a fact. Facts are things that change. That truth is found in Psalm 139. Amen. Psalm 139. The word of God says, this man, he says, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Amen. That is verse 4. Psalm 139 in the Christian Bible, right in the center of the Bible. Psalm, like I said, is spelled P-S-A-L-M. 139, if you don't have a Bible, you can Google it. You just type in Psalm PSALM 139. And you will find in verse 4, it says, "For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." So even if you pray in your heart and your mind, God knows it because He knows everything. He's so mighty. He's so powerful, this God. He knows your thoughts. Even before there's a thought in your heart and in your mind, God knows it already. God knows what you're going to think. God knows what you're going to say. And because He's God, right? So you can pray that prayer silently in your heart, and you don't have to worry and think you have to be on your knees to pray. You can walk and pray, or you can lie down. Even when you're in bed sickly, you're not feeling well, or you're very tired, you can pray right there lying down in your bed. There's no problem, because you can stand and pray also whilst other people are kneeling. Don't feel guilty because everybody's kneeling and praying and you are standing and praying, because sometimes you've got beautiful clothes on and you don't want to soil your clothes by kneeling on the ground. It may cost you a lot of money to have your clothes cleaned, or it may be difficult to have it cleaned, because if you send it to the laundry, if you do it yourself, you're going to spoil that beautiful garment. If you send it to the laundry, they may also damage it or spoil it. Or fade the colors or whatever. So you would feel like you want to stand. Never feel guilty if you stand and pray and other people are kneeling in prayer. You see, kneeling, that is just a posture of the body. But you may also be standing, but in your heart you are kneeling. Your spirit is kneeling before God. You see, it is not the posture of the body that signifies humility. It is the posture of your spirit, because you can get a person who's kneeling and praying, and yet that person is full of pride. And you can get another person who's standing and praying, but that person is so humbled for God. I'm not saying people who kneel are full of pride. I'm not saying people who stand are humble. It differs, but it does not mean that because someone is kneeling and you're standing, that those people are better than you. God, the Bible says, man look on the outward. So man is looking at the posture of the body, but it says that God look upon the heart. And you will find that scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Praise the Lord. This scripture, these words were uttered when God sent Samuel, a prophet. He wasn't actually a prophet, he was a seer. The difference between a prophet and a seer: a prophet many times just prophesy by inspiration words, or God can show him a godly dream or godly vision. But a seer, he sees, and many times these prophets, they may be deep in prayer when they see this vision, or they may be in a deep sleep when God showed them this prophetic dream. But a seer is someone, he can be walking and he see with his open eyes, the vision. That's a seer. But you must not confuse it with there's seers out there, psychics, which we don't subscribe to, which we don't approve of, who get there, whatever they see, like fortune tellers, whatever they see, the origin of that there, what they see, is not from the Holy Spirit, but from another spirit which is not of God. So there's a difference between fortune tellers and prophets. It's the spirit. So when this seer, Samuel, was sent to the house of a certain man, and there at this man's house, God said, "Go there, one of the sons, you must anoint him as the future king of Israel." But he didn't know who the son would be, and he went there, And the Lord said, "I'll show you which one is the son." And the Lord said to the father, "I've been sent here to anoint one of your sons as a king." And then he called his sons, but he called the four eldest sons who were also in the army. Handsome sons, well-built, young men of stature. They knew how to walk and how to stand. They were composed. They were attractive, they were majestic, They had the appearance of kings. They had the walk of kings already. They were dignified. And when they appeared before the prophet or the seer, let's call him a prophet for now that you know who I'm talking about. A prophet means a mouthpiece of God. The mouthpiece of God. So when the prophet Samuel stood there and the four young men appeared one by one before him, and then the fourth one, and he looked at him, he said, "Surely this must be the king. This must be the future king." Because he looked at the young man's appearance and he saw he had this dignity and appearance of a king already, the bearing of a king. And God said, "No." God said, "No, no, 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 Samuel." He said, "Man," God said, but the Lord said, I'm reading it now from the Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. 1 Samuel in the Christian Bible, chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." You see that? So sometimes you look at the outward appearance, or people look and they see everybody's kneeling, but you are standing in prayer. Then someone may say, "Yeah, you're not humble because you stand." No, you can be humble and yet stand. Kneeling is not a sign of humility. But in the olden days, people had to bow before the king. That is that physical posture. It means to say a sign of respect, you see. And even we kneel. There's a psalm that says, "Let us bow down and kneel before the Lord." Yes, it says that. But if you cannot kneel, maybe you got the problem with your knees. Maybe you are already a person who's chronologically gifted. Chronologically gifted means, chronos means time, that you are old already and you cannot bow your knees due to your having arthritis, or you don't want to kneel on the cold ground because if the cold go into your knee joints, you'll get more arthritis, you'll get pain there. And so don't worry if you're standing and praying. Don't worry if you're lying down and praying. Don't worry if you're walking down and praying, because I've discovered that sometimes I had to pray for a lot of people, a lot of requests, and that would take time. It would take maybe more than an hour to pray for all those requests that were sent to me, for all the people that they asked me to pray for. You cannot pray for such a lot of people in 5 or 3 minutes. So because I have to pray long, if I should pray at night and be on my knees, I'll fall asleep. So what I do, I walk up and down as I pray. Amen. So, yeah, the Lord bless you, whoever you are. The Lord bless you, dear listener. Don't worry about prayer. If you just shed a tear because of your burden, because of your pain, because of the sickness of your loved one, that tear is a prayer. If you just give a sigh when you look at your accounts and think you don't have money to pay your rent, you're going to have to get out of that home, or they're going to repossess your car, and you just give a sigh like that, "What am I going to do?" That sigh comes before God, and God will answer it. Because like I said, if you read, I repeat here, if you read the book of Acts chapter 7, in chapter 7 in the book of Acts, it's like a record of what happened to Moses, of how God appeared to Moses and how God sent him. That is in the book of Acts, in the Christian Bible, in the New Testament. Amen. So you will see that in verse 34, I'm reading this actually from the Bible now. God says in verse 34, Acts chapter 7, verse 34, "I've surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them." You see, he didn't say he heard his prayers, because they were not praying. They were groaning. They were sighing. "What are you going to do? That sigh, those sighs, those groans was appearing before God. And look at how God answered that. God answered that those sighs and groanings were 10 plagues that destroyed the enemy and that set the children of Israel free. And God sent Moses to lead them out into the promised land and through the Red Sea and through the desert. So, friend, the prayer that you are praying, God is hearing your prayer. The hymn said, He's listening to you. He's listening to you. He knows every heartache that you're going through. So tell Him today that you're lonely and blue because He, God, is listening to you. But you've got to be patient. God answers in three ways. He says, yes, no, and wait. But always be patient when you pray. Say, Lord, yet not my will, but thy will be done. I would like A, B, C, and D. I'd like you to do this, but yet not my will, but thine. And if God says no, just accept that with humility because God has a reason why He's not answering your prayer. There is a saying that says, God will wreck the plans that would have wrecked you. Sometimes God says no. Maybe you want that person as a husband. But God knows he may look wonderful now and speak wonderfully, be a wonderful friend or companion. But God knows ahead he's going to abuse you and hit you and maybe kill you. So God says no. Maybe you want that vehicle. And God says no, you can't have it because God knows that vehicle, you'll go speeding and get killed. Maybe you want that vast amount of money. And there's people who wanted money, riches, and wealth, and it corrupted them. It corrupted them. There's some people who become wealthy and get a lot of money, and then they forget the Lord. They start sinning, fornicating, committing adultery, drinking, and swearing, and mocking God even, after they became rich and wealthy. You see, so God knows, okay, I can't give this wealth to you, but because it's going to cause you to perish, to go to hell one day. So God knows why He's saying no. Just like you, if you have children, your child asks you for certain things, you will also say no to that child. And so there was a man in the Bible. In fact, this man was a king. He also prayed to the Lord. And this is the prayer that you can read about, the prayer that he prayed in the Bible. It is recorded in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. he was a king, in fact. And he prayed to God in verse 8. This is a king that was praying. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8. He says, remove falsehood and lies from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my Lord. He is saying, do not give me riches nor poverty. Don't let me be extremely rich and don't let me be poor. Because if I'm poor, I may steal. Because I have a need. Or if I'm extremely rich, I may forget you and blaspheme your name. You will see people who used to serve God, when they become extremely rich, they start despising other people who don't have and start mocking them and think, and pride enters their heart. And the Bible says, pride goes before the fall. If you're full of pride, you're going to fall. So in other words, he's saying there's another word that says moderation in all things. The same thing in eating. You must be moderate. If you eat too little, you'll be undernourished and be susceptible to sickness. If you eat too much, you may be subjected to sugar diabetes and high blood pressure and all of that. Anything that exceeds the bounds of moderation is very, very dangerous. The same thing with exercise. If you don't exercise, you're unfit. If you exercise too much, you may tear muscles. You see, you may hurt yourself, and so would anything. By the same token, it is a spending. If you spend too little, you are a miser, and it may just irk your wife or your family or your girlfriend or your boyfriend if you're stingy. If you're too much of a spendthrift, it's not also good, because you may not have money, enough money in the time of need. So you mustn't overspend. You must not spend in such a way that there's, like when you get your salary at the end of the month, that there's so much month left after the money. There must be a lot. You must spread out your money so that you have money the whole month. You see, you've got to have wisdom. Yes, may the Lord bless you. It seems like we have been digressing from the point, but everything works out for the good, the Bible says, because maybe someone who's listening to this podcast may have needed these scriptures or may have needed these words, because God knows what you need. Sometimes this podcast may not be what you wanted to listen to, but it may be what you needed to hear, because the answer is there. It's almost like medicine, like children. Sometimes the medicine doesn't taste so nice, and they don't want the medicine. It's bitter, but it's healthy. It will heal them and keep them alive, you see. So sometimes even when studying, you got to study and you don't feel like studying, or exam, you don't feel like writing an exam, but it's necessary. If you don't write that exam, you don't pass, you cannot get a certificate or diploma or degree. And at the end of the day, you will just have to take any job that you get. But if you study and get a diploma or matric or degree, then you can choose what kind of work you would like to get. So that's what they call bittersweet. It may be bitter in one way, but the end result will be sweet. The Lord bless you. Enjoy your life. Remember, I'm saying enjoy your life. I'm not saying enjoy your day. But it seems if I'm going to say to you, enjoy your day, that I only want you to enjoy one day. But I say enjoy your life, because I want you, I would like you to enjoy every day of your life. So let the rest of your life be the best of your life. Although I may not be praying a prayer on the podcast, but I pray for everyone who's listening to my podcast. I pray for their family. I'm praying for their work, for their future, for their health, for their safety. Be blessed, because you are too blessed to be stressed. You are too anointed to be disappointed. And you got the unction for the function. So believe it and you will receive it. You doubted to go without it, but if you confess it, you will surely and certainly possess it. So command your day, like I say every day. Today is going to be the most wonderful day of my life in comparison with the past. And I base those words on a scripture in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, where it says, the path of the righteous become brighter until the full day. We are righteous. If you're a child of God, if you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you're a child of God. And if you're a child of God, you have been declared righteous before God. In right standing, righteous means in right standing with God. And the righteousness we have is not a righteousness of our own. It is called imputed righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. So you are declared in God's sight, you and I are righteous people. So every promise in the Bible for the righteous is for you and for me. You apply it. You appropriate it. It is yours. It is mine. And so it says the path of the righteous, my path and your path, will become brighter. It means today is going to be a better day. That's how I approach life. There's a scripture that says in the book of Job, command the day. Did you command the day? So I say, wait for the day to be. Don't wait to see how the day is going to be. You command the day and you tell the day how it's going to be. I tell my day, I can tell you how my day is going to be. I don't know what's going to happen, but I can tell you that today is going to be the most wonderful day of my life in comparison with the past. Why do I say in comparison with the past? If I say today is going to be the most wonderful day of my life. That means all the other days, the quality of all the other days will diminish, will be worse than today, will be, go down because I said of my life, my whole life. But I say in comparison with the past, this will be the most wonderful day of my life. It means tomorrow will be better, the day after that, better. Yes, problems may come, temptation may come, trials may come, battles may come, tribulation may come, but God says in His Word, in all these things we are more than conquerors. That is also found in the book of Romans, again, chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, you will find there it says, but in all these things we are more than conquerors. In other words, God will give us the victory. That is also found in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14. It says, we praise God will always lead us in triumphant procession. It means that God will always give us the victory, no matter what battle, no matter what battle may come your way, no matter what problem. He will solve that problem for you. He will supply that need. He will carry you through the storm. He will help you to resist temptation. He will help you to overcome the battle. He will help you to deflect the fiery darts of the enemy. God will give you the victory because you're His child. You're the apple of His eye. He's with you. He said, lo, I'm with you. That is in the book of Matthew chapter 28, the last verse. He says, I'm with you until the end of the age. Until the end of time, God is with you. He said, He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's in Hebrews chapter 13, 5 and 6. God will never leave you nor forsake you. You're His child. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Although you may be living alone, maybe your spouse passed on, your husband or your wife, your parents, and you alone. But don't worry. You are not alone because God is with you. And He has commanded and commissioned the angels to protect you and to what? The angels are around you. They're right there by your bed. They're right there with you in your car. You can't see them. They are the guardian angels. They are, and when Psalm 23 says, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Goodness and mercy is the name of two angels. They are following you. Every day, I remember there's a song by C.C. Winans, and it's singing, Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. It's running after me. Amen. So just remember that, and may the Lord bless you, and may His goodness and His blessings await you where you're going to. May it overtake you in your life. May it surround you. May it encompass you. May it envelop you. Glory to God. Be blessed, my friend. There's about 80 podcasts on my site. You are free and welcome to listen to it and tell your friends about it because maybe they can receive a word of encouragement. There may be a word I'm mentioning in one of my podcasts saying, when you get a setback, don't take a step back, but make a comeback. A man told me 2 days ago, he says his marriage was on the verge of a divorce. And he said to his wife for the last time, go with me to church. Maybe they can pray for us. And he said, and he came to church. And that morning I stood up and I said, when you get a setback, don't take a step back, but make a comeback. He said when he heard those words, him and his wife, when they got home, they worked on their marriage. That was in 2018. He says they're still married today. And those words saved their marriage. When you get a setback, don't take a step back, but make a comeback. Because a setback is a set up for a comeback. When you get a setback, don't take a step back, but make a comeback. He said those words saved his marriage. He told me now 2 days ago. And so somewhere in my podcast, there's words that may save somebody else's marriage, that may save somebody from committing suicide, that may encourage someone, uplift, it may prevent someone from backsliding and going back into the world. But you can be instrumental dear listener, you can be instrumental if you share these podcasts with other people. You tell them about it. Just tell them to search for Henry Heatwave in Google. Just to Google it, and you'll find it easy. It's very easy. It's not a battle, really. But the Lord bless you. Enjoy your life. Thanks for listening. Amen.